The following podcast is not recommended for listeners under 18 because the words f***, sh*t, m*** and a*** may crop up with an alarming frequency. Just needed to hear a little bit of the fine band Cut Off Your Hands, which is, I think, a lovely band name. Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Welcome to the last edition of 2011 of the Rum Bunter Podcast. I'm sitting here sipping champagne because I'm cocktails for two.
I'm Rum Bunter.
You are the Rum Bunter. You are the motherfucking Rum Bunter.
Sipping on gin and juice.
Are you now?
No, I'm not.
No.
Just it's a little Dogfish 90 is all I got.
Is it? So how was your Christmas?
Fantastic,
there?
Best Christmas in history.
Yeah. No, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
No
what
doubt.
What Santa bring you?
I'm now officially a brewer. Yep. The smallest brewery in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I thought you meant like you got traded.
No, oh, wait, don't, no, fuck, not that's a Milwaukee mine. Brewer.
Although give me that, you cool. Cocksucker. I had to pay for that thing. Give me that. Give me that. God damn it. That's my picture of me and Jose Tabata.
Ooh.
Woohoo! Let's talk about Pirates Fest.
That was a good time, man.
I had a lovely time. I'm looking at this lovely picture of me and Jose Tabata right here that I took. He was you know, where they were over posing by the kind of by the entryway, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Where they put in the, you know, they'll put the background of PNC in there for you. Jose Tabata was over there with Brad Lincoln, and I asked Brad, I said, Brad, would you mind moving out of the way? I really fucking did. I was like,
oh.
He was very nice. I mean, I was nice about it. I didn't, you know, say move out of the fucking way. I said, excuse me, could I just get a picture of me and Jose? And he's like, yeah, you didn't give a shit.
Wow.
Because
I'm the man.
Knowing
man.
Well, and knowing me as you do, do you think
Can
I want a picture
take
of
a picture, Brad? Is that what you said?
No. They were up in, they were posing in pairs, like it would be McHenry and Alex Presley, for instance, or whoever. So they were typically there in pairs. So after you bailed on me. Jose Tabata and Brad Lincoln were there, and I politely asked Brad Lincoln if he would mind stepping out of the picture because I didn't want him in the picture.
Right.
Because I don't want to. Adam, I can cut you one of these. I got the extra little 3x5s. I can get a picture to you, and I'll autograph it for you.
Nice. Yes.
I liked what they did with Pirate Fest. It was a very nice job.
It was my first time there, and I had a lovely time, and I want to send out some thanks to some people. Friend of the program, Vlad, for letting me avail myself of his couch for a couple of nights. That was really pretty fucking awesome.
Vlad got a new couch.
Vlad will need a new couch after my wide body's been on it, but that's okay. I got a chance to meet up with Christy Robinson. Got to chat with her. I did pass your felicitations on, Adam. Just
oh,
so
God.
You just so you not really. I didn't. You didn't come up at all.
Shit.
No, I said Adam says hi. I did. I really did. I swear to you, I said
liar.
Adam says, I fuck you. You weren't there. You weren't there. You know why you weren't there? Because you bailed on me. I got there. I hot footed it. Okay, here's the deal. I went to see Wilco Friday night here in Chicago, and it was at the Metro. 1,000 people. It was the next to small.
You acted like you were a gimp.
I did need my cane, as a matter of fact, because it was like
cane out.
It was three flights of stairs.
Got the one shoe with the big sole on it,
not
another
easy,
little sole.
I'm not Tom Dempsey. Okay,
that's what you did. That you did.
No, but I did not end up getting a seat, so that was great. I got to sit through the show, and it was one hell of a show. I got to tell you, it was an amazing show.
You had the wristband to prove it.
I do. I just threw it away this morning, as a matter of fact, because I was cleaning house. Well, I mean, you know, who cares? And then went home, caught the first flight from Chicago to Pittsburgh at like, which I thought was at 8 o'clock in the morning, but misread it. And it was at 8:50, so I was like hauling ass to the airport, and had an extra hour. So of course I had time for a couple of Bloody Marys there at the fine Midway Airport. And for some reason, here was the nice thing. When you join Southwest Airlines reward thing, you know, they give you, like, they move you to the A line.
So right.
Instead of just waiting around for, like, everybody else. So they move you to the A line, and they give you a drink ticket. So I printed out my boarding pass, and I printed out my drink ticket. And then when I got to the gate at Midway, they took my boarding pass and gave me, you know, the cardboard one. The IBM card kind of one. And they gave me another IBM card with another drink ticket on it. So I got on the plane and sat down in the front row there, and I asked the stewardess, I said, can I use both of these? She says, I don't give a shit. She said, you have two of them, you get two drinks. So I had a couple more Bloody Marys and then caught the taxi cab right down to the very fine convention center in Pittsburgh. I converted the cab driver. We have a new listener for the very fine Rum Buncher podcast. So he's listening in. And then met up with you. We had a lovely time talking with Neil Huntington, and that was a very fine chat. I thought it was fun that when you and I were talking to him, I happened to open up my Twitter feed on the iPhone, and they had just announced the Lottos trade. And we're like, so, guess you weren't on the phone making this trade, huh, Neil? He says, no, I'm working here. So
shaking hands with 7-year-olds.
Shaking hands and taking pictures and signing baseballs. But, you know, I mean, we're not going to say anything bad about
friends. Work.
That's right. Hey, you know, but we can't say anything. And so later on that afternoon, he did introduce me to somebody in the Pirates organization that we're going to have on our first program of the year.
I'm looking forward to
next
that.
Year. Yeah, I really wanted to get him on, but he couldn't tape today. He's on a family vacation, so.
Piece of shit.
Well.
What's that? Vacation.
You can't say that.
Lose 90 games and he goes on vacation.
You can't say that. Well, but you know, coming up here, we do have one of everybody's favorites.
That's right.
I just drew a blank. So can we go back there? For
hometown.
Yeah, no, I mean, can we hold on for something?
He actually grew up in Pittsburgh.
All right, hold on. Wait, 1-2 seconds.
Wait, no, don't you dare cut this shit out, Adam. I drew a blank. I love it.
So
hope his voicemail picks up.
We won't have that gentleman on the program this evening, but we are going to have hometown.
I like it.
We'll be talking with young number 18, Mr. Neil Walker.
NFW.
I'm going to ask him about that, too. I want to ask him if, you know, he actually calls himself NFW on occasion.
Well, I hope his voicemail picks up.
I hope it does, too, because, you know, did you hear back from him? When you told him 15 minutes?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, good. That's excellent. So,
very polite, too.
Is he? Well, we're going to find that out.
Early. I don't. They wanted to get done early. Tell him to call.
All right.
Obviously, he doesn't know that you guys don't get started early.
Oh, criminy!
Anyway,
criminy! I'm blaming it on the CTA. It was the bus's
having
fault.
Having fun with it.
It was the bus's fault. I can't do much about that. So you're a brewer now. Santa brung you that home brewing kit that you were pissing and moaning about on Twitter.
Yes. Yes, she did. She did well.
Good, excellent. Because I would have brung you one had I known that you wanted that. But I already had your presence.
It's a big thing. It's a big deal. The music's much better.
Have you listened to most of that?
Most of it. Wow.
Cool. Have you watched?
It sucks. It sucks. That he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, fun. I've got a boatload more of that I can send to you. So, did you watch the DVD?
Parts of it. Because we had some DVD challenges at Smith Household.
Oh, okay. You can watch it on your computer, too. So you,
that's true.
I'm just saying you could, because that's where I burned it from. Well, good. I'm glad to hear. I brought, as a matter of fact, I brought Adam a present back from Pirates Fest. I brought him the kit that they hand you, you know, when you walk in with the calendar and the schedules and all that stuff. And I had the opportunity on Sunday to get that autographed by Alex Presley and our new favorite pirate, Clint Barmas.
Absolutely. Was the announcer there at Pirates Fest so that he knows how to pronounce Clint Barmas?
He was there. Nobody. I got a feeling that's just not going to catch on.
Dang it.
I just got a feeling that's not going to catch up. But yeah, let's go back to Pirates Fest for just a minute. I had a hell of a time, Smitty. I had a marvelous.
It was a great time. It was. They did a nice job with it. Widened it up. I was surprised at the attendance number. Not sure who the hell was counting, because that looked like a massive crowd there.
It was pretty packed. And you know what they were saying, that it was even more full on Sunday. And I will attest, it was pretty freaking packed on Sunday.
Yeah. But, you know, in the past, that Friday has always been opened up for the public.
Right.
So they cut it by a day and still came pretty close. That's pretty interesting.
You got to like that.
$12 ahead, Bob's happy.
My only complaint is there needs to be some seating interspersed throughout the throughout the convention, because it is a pretty big footprint there. You know, Neil was saying it was
terrible setup.
Neil was saying it was what, half again as much as it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, in previous years. So it's a large footprint. But we got to sit down and chat with Tim from Pirates Prospects too. Got our copy of the 2012 Prospects Guide. That is a fucking must read. Speaking of the Prospects Guide, we're giving out some Prospects Guides, aren't we?
Yeah. We have a caps and contest going. That'll be going until we get rid of a case of prospect guides that
wow.
picked up from Pirates Prospects booth at the Pirates Fest.
Yep.
Guys did a nice job on again this year. I mean, wow, it's loaded.
Yeah, it is.
204 pages worth of absolute geeked out stats and everything on everybody from, let's see, it starts
from
the first A here. I always wanted to know this. Stand by.
Adalberto, what's his name?
It would be Tim Alderson.
Oh, last name for Friday. Okay.
To my Julio Vivas. Venezuela.
Okay, and where else? So he's in the GCL there?
It's a big young right-hander.
Okay.
6'2", 227.
What was your favorite part of the fest, Smitty?
Hanging out with Nikki Walker, the newlywed. We'll get to talk to Neil about that shit. We got to call him up.
Okay. Well, we'll take a short break and we'll be right back with Neil, hometown Neil Walker, Pine Richland's own.
Woo!
I keep it player, watch some truth to play it safe. But check the resume, it's risky business in the AA. And I've been witness to this history ever since the 10th grade. We went from rock and race to 10th phase.
And we are back, and holy shit, on the telephone with us right now, the real deal, Mr. Neil Walker of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Neil, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on. We are pleased as punch to have you with us. So Smitty, you jump right in, because you've got stuff you've got to ask him, and I don't want to ask him stuff and piss him off right out of the chute. So.
Oh, that's true. Hey, I just want to know what's it feel like to be a newlywed, Neil Walker.
It's great. No, it's good. I am here in Pittsburgh and spending most of my offseason here, and got married here to a longtime girlfriend from Pittsburgh as well. So. Have a tough time getting out of this town. I have been bleeding black and gold for a long, long time. So everything seems to revolve around this city.
I heard a story. I want to know if this is true. Now, your wife did not know that you played baseball at Pine Richland.
What?
This is true. This is a true story. I think, well, she was ahead of me in school, and she only knew me as a football player. So that just goes to show Western Pennsylvania sports the what order they go in, because football is king there. So in pretty much all schools, but yeah, it took a little while, and finally I proved my worth to her.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a great story when we were able to hang out with her at Pirate Fest for a little bit and got to talk to her.
Well, so, some of us did.
How was the honeymoon?
It was fantastic. We went to St. Lucia down in the Caribbean, and no cell phones, no internet, no TV. So it was pure
honeymoon.
You know, yeah, pure honeymoon and some beverages and beach. So it was a good week.
Yeah,
you get to go fishing.
Went fishing one day, went out on a boat one day, and didn't catch anything but a cold. So that was the worst part of the honeymoon. That was the only thing about the honeymoon that was bad is I went out fishing and came back empty-handed. I had this elaborate thing where I was going to catch the fish and I was going to give it to the chefs in the resort, and they were going to cook it up for us. We had it all planned out, and I came back empty-handed. So that was a tough pill to swallow for me.
That's crazy, because I've seen your tackle box over the break, and you're quite the fisherman. And what did the captain have a reason for that, or what the hell?
He just you know, they didn't guarantee me any fish when we went out, and everybody had told me, well, the fishing is king down there when you the marlin, and the water is so deep down there, and obviously so clear that it's supposed to be really good for fishing. And it ended up being a terrible day. So I'm assuming that fishing karma is going to come back on my side when I head south to Florida for spring training, and I'll catch double the amount of fish I normally do.
I wonder if the captain was a Brewers fan or a Cardinals fan or something, like messing with you.
They had no idea what baseball was. They only knew what cricket was down there. So I tried to explain to him a little bit of how we play our form of cricket in the United States, and they were completely lost. But yeah, I still think that they try to finagle me somehow.
Yeah, something's going on with that.
You know, Neil, I got a when you're down in spring training, I got a sister down in Key Largo. If you get a day off, she's got a real nice boat. She'd be happy to take you out and show you where some real fucking fish are.
Yeah, that's an awfully nice gesture. That might be something to take advantage of. We go down there usually in October too, so we have more time to cruise around and do fishing. But I might take you up on that.
Good. Well, she doesn't know who the hell you are, so if I just tell her I got a friend coming in, she's she's okay with that. I send friends down there all the time to go fishing because I can't do it myself. I suppose my invitation got lost in the mail. But Smitty was telling me that it was a hell of an event. So
yeah, we kept it small, but we had a great time, and we're back to reality now. So everything's great.
You're
when will you head off to Bradenton, Neil?
We are planning to go down about between the 20th and the end of the month in January. So I guess we got about four or five weeks to go here. And you know, as I'm looking out my window and staring at 30-degree weather and snow, nothing sounds better than 80 degrees and sunshine in Bradenton. So they'll hopefully be here sooner than later.
If Barmas was talking about a mini camp. We had the Pirates were kind enough to have a blogger's Q&A thing there, and he was talking about maybe a winter camp or something like that going on. He was also talking about you texting, but it was the first text from a Pirate that he got. It seemed like you guys might have a pretty good thing going already.
Yeah, we actually are. They're doing a short little five day mini camp down in Bradenton, the 9th through the 14th. So, yeah, I guess that's. But I'm coming back up here to Pittsburgh between then and when I go back down. And but I mean, me and Clint, I think immediately have hit it off as two guys that are looking to win, looking to get better as ball players. And I know that he's really excited about the opportunity here in Pittsburgh, and obviously playing Houston last year as many times as we did, I get a good feel of what kind of player he is, and obviously very, very good defensive shortstop. So I think we're going to get along just great, and I think that uh, I think that it's going to be a good combination there, and something to really build upon. And I think he'll help us a lot in the hitting department too. I think he's a hybrid type of hitter where he could hit second, he could hit sixth, even he could hit 7 and 8 too. So I think he's somebody that's so versatile and somebody that you need on a team like ours to get us over the hump.
So Neil, would you rather hunt or fish?
Fish. Fishing's my thing. I never got into hunting, even though the county that I live in is one of one of the top 10 places to hunt in all of America. So I have a lot of friends around me that hunt. I just have never gotten into it.
So what's your favorite way to prepare fish?
I'm a griller. I like to grill. I like to get out and do mahi-mahi. I like to do salmon, and I obviously like to do tuna. So those are probably my three favorite things to cook. But I prefer grilling.
When you go fishing in Bradenton, do you guys have a boat? Or I had heard that Sanchez had a boat down there and went fishing on or something.
Huh. I didn't hear that. I do know that when we go down, I have a guy that a guide in the area, I should say, that takes us out. And, well, he'll take me out, but everybody kind of has their own person. And if we go just in the lakes, we'll just go around the Bradenton area and go bass fishing and all that. But I have a guy that takes me out, that'll come get me from my place and takes me out. And I've always done real well with him. And he lets me keep the fish. And I went out with him in October and came back with about 6 pounds of fish. So that was always a positive thing.
You know, I've been seeing on, for about the last week or so, I've been seeing some mad photos on Twitter. Looks like you have a fierce competitor in the fishing department with J-Mac there.
No, there's an ongoing thing in our clubhouse who's the fisherman at all of the best fisherman of the group, and J-Mac fishes more than any of us. So I'll give him the crown. I do it more as leisure and a way to free my mind, but he gets competitive with it. So I like to just bust his chops a little bit and get him all round up. But outside of that, I know Korea fishes a lot, and Daniel McCutcheon fishes a lot, but out of us four, I'd say J-Mac probably is one of the better ones, but we have a lot of fun doing it.
Now you got something to shoot for.
Yeah,
taking the fish crown away from.
J-Mac, when I was down for spring training, I like rubbing it in your face cocktails, my spring training stories, and that he was talking and the pitchers were hitting in the cage with Coach Richie, and he was talking about fishing like the whole time. You could tell he just has real passion for it.
You should have said, why don't you worry about hitting 200 as opposed to 115 like the rest of the bums we got. Yeah.
Now, goddamn it, I am finding a way to get down to Bradenton this year. I'm on by hook or by crook. I made it to Pirate Fest, and goddamn it, if I'm not going to make it down for spring training somehow, some way.
It's something else, I tell you. It is a lot of fun. You get to see all the young players, and in Pirate City, it's pretty cool how set up. It's a cool thing.
It's our favorite time of year down there, too. I mean, the weather's perfect. It's not, you know, you're not going balls to the wall, per se, and with your workouts Guys are really battling for those extra spots in the team. It brings out the best in the players. And like I said, you get to see all the guys that can help you out during the year that you don't really get to see from the minor league standpoint. And the stress level is much, much lower than from day one to day 162 during the season.
Speaking of which, in your opinion, Neil, and obviously we're not going to hold you to this, and we know that nobody, you know, on the team listens to this podcast because, you know, we're just.
You might be surprised.
the only guy we know for sure is Kyle McPherson, and that's because he was on. But who do you think is the next minor leaguer to come up and make an impact with the team?
You know, it's funny you say Kyle McPherson because I thought seeing him throw last year and then obviously seeing what he did this year was really, really impressive. And I don't know if maybe he's the next one in line, but I think. After seeing him throw the ball last year during spring training and seeing the kind of numbers he put up, when you have a guy with that many strikeouts and that little walks, that's a flag that goes up in the department of you're doing some serious things right. So I think he's well on his way. I hope that it's somebody like Tony Sanchez, Matt Haig, possibly. I think Borges Hernandez. I think there's a few guys. I can't really pinpoint one guy that I think is gonna, you know, surprise and make the club out of spring training or something like that. But I think we're in a much better position this year than we have been in the past few years in terms of, you know, getting some help, you know, when we have injuries and being more prepared when things, you know, don't go right or guys have injuries during the course of the year.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about after we have like a wrap up. And I was just looking at the just real quick. I was just looking at that roster on the day that you guys are in first place against the Braves in that 19-inning game. 19 players were used, and 9 of them are gone right now. Xavier Paul, gone. Pierce, Overbay, Cedeño, Diaz, Bima, Wood, Veras, and Fryer.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I think I saw a number where we used 52 or 53 players over the course of the season, which,
yeah,
I mean, that's absurd. I've never seen numbers like that before. So, yeah, that 19-inning game was definitely a spot we that everybody likes to talk about. But you know, more than that, when you pull out numbers like that, players that are gone, players that are here, and how many players we use over the course of the year, it makes for an interesting conversation.
I wanted to ask you about that real quick, Neil. The Huntington talked about a little bit the intangibles. You had a lot of guys playing to your right at the shortstop position, mainly Cedeño. But does any of that factor into it? Like Brandon Wood was playing short that day, and Chase played there and struggled a little bit. Does any of that factor into your, I guess, mojo or in your head at all, being kind of relatively new at second? Does that, I heard you talk about Barmas being a little more solid. During the year, does any of that come into where you're like, not real sure? It seemed like you and Cedeño had a good connection, but some of the other guys didn't have so much.
Yeah, we did. Ronnie and I really got to know each other, got to know, you know, what we do well, what we, you know, how we like to feed each other the ball in terms of double plays. You know, when we made mistakes in terms of throwing, where were they at? So we were kind of always prepared. And, when he had, I think he had an injury or something, or he was out for a little bit, and a couple guys stepped in and they started to give a couple of other guys some chances. I can't say that it messed with me, but it definitely, it takes you to an awkward place in terms of having to learn a new guy pretty quickly. But you know, when you can get in spring training and the more reps you can get with a different amount of guys, or if like Farmers is going to have the job, I'm going to spend a ton of time just talking to him, number one, but more than that, taking a lot of ground balls with him and learning what he likes to do, how he likes the ball, how he likes to receive the ball, this and that. So you definitely feel more comfortable with somebody, but when other guys come in there, you just have to be on guard a little more and be a little more focused for stuff to go awry.
Neil, tell us a secret about Kutch that nobody knows.
About Kutch, oh my gosh. Well, you'd be surprised to know that Andrew at my wedding, he beatboxed at my wedding, and did some Marvin Gaye into his beatboxing. I'm surprised it's not out on the internet right now because it was incredibly impressive. And you know, nobody really knew Andrew, and there was a couple other teammates at my wedding, but he was blowing people away when he grabbed the mic and got up in front of everybody, and everybody was like, oh, I wonder what he's going to do. And then he started beatboxing and started singing, and everybody was just blown away. So I guess you could say he's talented in the music department.
The vocal stylings. The vocal stylings of Andrew McCutchen. There you go.
We heard another story from Clint Hurdle, Neil, that he said that I guess it must have been in May or June that you walked into the clubhouse and said, hey, I didn't really believe maybe in what you were talking about early in the season about, you know, how well this team could do, and you guys were playing pretty well and had 16 wins in June or whatever, and you went in there and said, hey, but I believe what's going on now. Is that a true story or is that a little fabrication?
No, that's true. And you know what? I don't remember the context it came in, and I do remember, you know, it's funny when somebody new comes in, especially a manager, I think it takes a little while for guys to warm up to them, and especially you don't know how your manager is going to react in certain situations when things go bad, the team's doing well, the team's not doing well, a bad call on the field, players disciplinary type of situations. And when you know, Clint obviously passed all these things with flying colors, but the way he was able to like rally us and really just exude confidence throughout the entire, not even our team, but the entire organization, that truly made me a believer of and like fully and wholly I was all in, and I considered myself all in for the entire year, even from day one, the first day I talked to Clint last year around this time, and hearing him out. But to see him you know, follow through on everything that he said that he wanted to do, you know, made me respect him to the nth degree, but also made me, you know, fully in on what the organization was doing and what direction they were going.
That's pretty cool.
Neil, you know, we all know you're a fairly net savvy kind of guy. You're on Twitter, and we know that you know, you check out some of the blogs and stuff like that. So you have to know that you're when people refer to you, that it's NFW. You know that, right?
NFW?
Yeah.
Oh.
So what I want to know is when you're taping a promo for, you know, Root or, you know, for the Scoreboard or whatever, have you ever slipped up and said, this is Neil fucking Walker of the Pittsburgh Pirates?
No, I haven't. I really haven't.
That wouldn't hurt. That would not help the hometown image, would it?
Yeah. I'm trying to warm up more to this Pittsburgh kid thing, and you know, I consider myself not so much a kid, but you know, for crying out loud, maybe one day that'll go. But I guess Sidney Crosby is still Sidney Kid. So, you know, that's a more appropriate name, I guess, as opposed to being called a kid. So. I guess I can run with that one a little, but I don't think I'll be using that anytime soon on any promotions and on the Jumbotron or anything like that.
I mean, I didn't think you'd do it on purpose. I just thought maybe it slipped up one time, you know, and just, you know, because some of these things take more than one take. We all know that, you know.
Sure.
So what's your favorite ballpark besides PNC? We all know PNC is the best park in the country. Where else do you like to play?
Not Oakland, that's for sure. He didn't like Oakland.
No. I'm not bad. I mean, from what I can remember in Oakland, it's bad.
Ryan Church truck.
that wasn't good. I do like some of the West Coast ballparks. I like San Diego. I like San Francisco. The ballparks are nice, and obviously the amenities and the cities are cool places to play. I like the mystique of Wrigley Field a lot. I like going there and just knowing the history behind the field and in the city and how excited fans get and things like that. And, you know, going to Philly is always fun because you know you're just going to get brutalized for three or four straight days, however long you're there. There's a lot of places I enjoy playing for several different reasons. But, you know, in terms of a ballpark and overall amenities, you know, you'd be surprised if you asked other teams from other guys from other teams that most of them would say Pittsburgh. So, and I believe that too. And I feel like I'm somewhat biased because I'm obviously from here, but you know, when you hear other people say it, you kind of say, oh, all right, well, maybe it is true.
It's a damn fine thing. You know, you don't come in here. I'm looking at the, schedule. You don't come here into Chicago until July, man. That's
strange.
That's odd.
July is a good month this year for you.
July is?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
you had no infield fly balls or some crazy shit in July. But that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw a story about you guys. You probably won't talk about it, but you and Nikki kind of adopted a family or got them some Christmas presents or something cool like that?
Well, we have a close family friend that's a priest and that married us. And he actually married both my brothers and my sister, so all in the Catholic Church. And I went to a grade school. I went to St. Alphonsus Grade School in Wexford. and Western Pennsylvania, that is. And he has been a very close friend of ours, and he's down at a church in a place called Braddock Hills, which is in the inner city of Pittsburgh and in a rough area, and they have some. So we didn't particularly adopt a family as much as we just tried to help out the community down there and give back to some of the families in need. So that was something we were pretty passionate about. We wanted to do this year, and definitely something we're going to do in the future.
Oh, that's cool.
That is tremendous. That's absolutely tremendous. It's great to hear, Neil, because you know you hear so much crap about so many players, and not just baseball, of course, but I mean, you know, the gimme me horse shit.
Sure.
And then to have players like yourself that are involved with the community, not just because you grew up there, but I mean, hell, if you lived in Miami, I'm sure you'd have the same outreach there. You know, so it's,
well, it's you know, we're blessed to play this game, and we're blessed to be able to be healthy enough. And when you get the opportunity to go see kids in Children's Hospital or families in need or kids that are suffering from illnesses or Down syndrome or things that they can't control, it really kind of brings things into light. And baseball is obviously a huge portion of a lot of our lives in terms of playing the game. But it's interesting. There's a lot of guys on this Pirates team that are. You know, people like Jeff Karstens who go every single homestand. He goes to Children's Hospital, and not many people probably know that. But there's a lot of stories like that of guys giving back, and you know, I don't see it as anything more than you know, doing what my parents kind of raised me to do, and that's, you know, give back when you have it.
Well, you know, you do for other people, and good things happen.
I believe in karma too. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what karma gods I pissed off this morning, but I had this Pat Benatar song stuck in my head for a fucking hour, and
I don't know what I did.
it was hell for an hour. I don't know what I did to deserve that. Speaking of music, I've got two more questions for you, and then okay. Smitty can tear you up. All right, I better justify this or back it up. You do know what a record album is, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, he's not Tony Sanchez. Sanchez was totally taken.
Christ!
Off
I said
that.
Something about records, and one of these guys are like, "What the fuck's a record?" And I'm like, "You, I really hate you now." So, Neil Walker, what's your Saturday night record?
Oh my! I'm a big fan of Dave Matthews. I'd have to say he's probably the leader when I need something to go to. It's usually him, but. Now you'd be interested. No, I'm into a lot of the 80s rock and stuff like that. But for the most part, I don't have as much of that on my iPod as I do the Dave Matthews and kind of new age stuff.
All right. So if that's your Saturday night record, what's your Sunday morning record? What do you wake up and put on Sunday morning?
Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning, I probably have to switch over to some country, you know, something like a Kenny Chesney, something that kind of, you know, soothes you and gets you in the mood to relax and kind of have a lazy Sunday. So I don't discriminate when it comes to music. I'm a fan of all music.
I understand that, but isn't there one ball player in this world that doesn't listen to fucking country music?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing personal. It's just y'all seem to have somewhere. And it doesn't matter where you're from, you know. It's like,
well, 75% of baseball is from Texas, so 75% of the ball players are from the Deep South.
All right, so who's the funniest buck?
Oh, man. I got to go with Garrett Jones. He's incredibly funny, and for no other reason than just being himself. He doesn't really tell jokes or anything like that. He's obviously a big guy, but you know, you would think he was a child by some of the things he does in terms of, you know, making people laugh. He's just very, very funny.
Got a new nickname now, Manchild.
Manchild.
Yeah, he might like that.
If he likes it, Bam and all that stuff.
If he likes it, I'll take credit for it. If he doesn't like it, I'm going to tell him you said that.
Okay, all right, I can handle it.
Hey, Neil, just two more of your predictions. I know you predicted Joe Hanrahan's breakout, and you also talked about Kevin Hart, but last year or in an interview. So this year, looking ahead, like a real early look here, but maybe an out-of-nowhere pitcher in the organization for all us fans to keep an eye on.
Jeff Locke pops up in my head. I think he's going to grow a little bit this year. I think he's going to do some good things. His showing in September wasn't great last year, but I think he learned a lot about pitching at the major league level. I'd like to throw Brad Lincoln in on that mix too, because I think he's very, very motivated. I think he is a guy that's gonna be a workhorse for us. He may not be a starter right away, but I think he's gonna be a hybrid guy for us in the bullpen / spot starter, kind of like a Jeff Carsons was last year, and earn that spot. But I think he's gonna be a very good player, and you know, obviously, I got to go with one of my best buddies, Pedro Alvarez, on the offensive side.
I think,
you know, obviously what he did last year and some of the injuries that he came across and some of the struggles he came across, you know, Pedro's probably one of my best friends in baseball, him and Kutch, and just getting to talk to him, he's already learned a lot about himself, and, you know, he is going to apply that. There's nobody that works harder than Pedro, and it's, you know, last year was tough to see, and especially from the greeting that the Pittsburgh, you know, fan base kind of shoved on him toward the end of the year, it was it was a tough pill to swallow for him, and certainly as somebody that's a big fan of his, it was a tough pill to swallow for me too. So I kind of took that personally with him, and it wasn't exactly fair in my mind. And this guy is going to be a very, very good player, and I think he's going to have a breakout year this year.
What's he doing? I'm going to lie to you one more. What's he doing to look so different? Is it P90X or what?
Man,
he looks like he could be in the MMA or some shit.
I know he's doing a lot of cardio. I know he's doing a ton of running and things like that. And, but he's an incredible. He might be probably the strongest guy on the team.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, he's very, very strong, and that's led to some of his, you know, weight issues over the course of the last couple of years because of how strong he actually is.
Uh-huh.
But I know this offseason he's really focused on cardio, doing a lot of running, doing a lot of sprint work, and making sure that he's doing you know, his extra running and stuff like that. I don't think he's doing P90X. He hasn't said that, but I know that he went out to California for a period of time and was working out with somebody that his agent Scott Boris has out there in L.A. So he looks fantastic last time I saw him. And like I said, he's going to work himself into the best shape that he can get in, and there's nobody that cares more than him.
He looked damn good at Pirate Fest, I got to say.
He did.
He looked happy, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Neil,
Neil, what is your New Year's resolution?
Oh, man.
It doesn't have to be, this doesn't have to be Pirates-oriented. I mean, what is your,
I mean,
if it is, that's great, but what is Neil fucking Walker's New Year's resolution?
Oh man, you know, I got five nephews, and I'm a newly married man, so I'm happy as can be, and I'm a happy-go-lucky person. And I think my New Year's resolution is to be, you know, as good of an uncle and a married man as I can be, as plain and boring as that sounds. You know, I don't have, you know, obviously doing as much as I can to win a World Series is number one, but from a personal standpoint, to you know, to fulfill the needs as an uncle and a husband, that's something that's important to me too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, if
take care of her, she's a sweetheart.
If you have listened to the program, you know that I make very sure that the wife is happy at home, because it makes the rest makes the rest of your life a hell of a lot easier.
That's all right, good advice. I'm going to take that and run with it.
Hey, I'll tell you, man. You know, it's if you're happy at home, everything else goes a lot smoother because you know you're not coming home and getting your ass chewed. That's
sure.
That's the best thing. All right, well, Neil, Smitty, unless you've got anything else for Mr. Walker, speaking of being happy at home, you know, we'll let him get home to his lovely wife and not take any more time away.
No, that sounds like a great idea.
I think it is, too. Neil, listen, we very much appreciate you coming on, taking the time to speak with us. Happy Christmas, happy New Year to you, and we look to maybe we'll talk to you again around spring training time.
It's been my pleasure, guys. Same to you. Have a great New Year, and good luck to everyone in 2012.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, rock on.
Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm
Well, that was Mr. Neil fucking Walker. How'd that work out for you, kid?
I like that. What'd you think, Adam?
He's a cool guy, man. He's just a nice, laid-back,
a lot of fun,
happy guy.
Baseballs for a living.
Right.
It seemed like he had a good time. I know I had a good time talking to him.
Yeah, he's something he said that he wanted to do when we were at Pirate Fest, which is cool. He's checking it. I think it's growing on some of the players. I think they know that it's kind of okay to do it or whatever since the big shots are doing it. I think that was smart for us to kind of go after the bosses first and now try to get some players on here. And
if Coonley does it, then, you know, then
hey,
that's okay.
Be all right for me.
There
right.
You go. There you go.
Ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to hear is 100% vocals. 100% vocals.
We are back once again. That was tremendous fun. Who knew that Kutch was the human beatbox?
He's the man. Talent oozes from his fingernails. You know, fucking Walker. It's like every day is the Super Bowl around here. The old Rum Bunter podcast.
It's every day is Christmas here at the Rum Bunter podcast. You know.
Wait till you see what we have in store next.
Wait till we have our either our first or our second podcast of 2012. That's going to be tremendous. But let's get back to 2011 here. I was going through. I printed out the transactions that the Pirates made from January 3rd of this year, January 3rd being my birthday, and that was the first day that the Pirates did any transactions. On that day, Sean Gallagher, Cesar Valdez, Jeff Clement, Tyler Floodgates, Yates, Rudy Owens, Justin Wilson were all assigned to the Pirates, and the Pirates signed Brian Burris. there's some names on, and what it was, it turns out to be in 12-point type, in 12-point font, it's 11 fucking pages of transactions. 12-point type being like the smallest I can read without using my glasses. Jesus.
Wow.
Here's the name what name do you think came up most in all of these transactions? This
Pedro Siriaco.
You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
Pedro
Siriaco was involved in 12 moves from when did they call him up here? He was on the.
He moved more than he had hits, huh?
He's okay on April 22nd. Pirates called him up. On April 23rd, they sent him down. On May 21st, they called him up. On, where's 4 and 5 here? I'm missing a page. Anyway, there were several.
It happened a lot.
It happened a fucking lot, and there were several times that he was here for, like, he was up for a day.
Mm.
You know? I mean, how many frequent flyer miles does this kid get between Indianapolis and Pittsburgh? 12 moves. So he was up for 3 days. He was up for a week. He was up for 6 days. He was up for 4 days. Oh, here it is. Yeah, so poor. And now he's not even with the organization anymore.
Thanks, Pedro.
But you know what? He really did exist. Some other great names from our transactions here. Joe Bimel.
Mm. The caveman, we called him in spring training.
I think the bunting champion.
The bunting champion.
If I remember.
I watched him do, I think it was like 19 or 20 pull-ups in his cut-off shirt.
Well, sure. You got to show your full sleeve.
And I talked to a fan at Bradenton, and he's looking at Bimel, and he said he was from his hometown. I think it's where they make straw beer. Anyway, great guy, but not really good holding the booze.
Oh, really? Really?
Interesting. Might be able to share that someday, and I just did.
So, former Pirate Joe Bimel can't hold his liquor? Is that what
can't hold the liquor, supposedly.
Damn, what's his problem?
I don't know. Maybe the beer muscles or something. Maybe got knocked out, sucker punched. There's a story there. There's a deeper story, but the guy went to grab another Bud Tallboy draft got to follow up with him.
Christ,
shame on me.
Anybody that drinks Bud is just, you know.
What a waste of money that pickup was.
So we need to, you know, we need to do a wrap up of the 2011 season and
sure. And yeah, I got some things here. It started off well in Chicago, didn't it?
It did. As a matter of fact, I want to just point out one thing before you get it, because this was something I went back and was listening to some of the older podcasts just because I was formulating.
You're awesome that way.
Well, I want to get better at this, and that was kind of my New Year's resolution is to assess, you know, the work that we do here and get better at it, and I'll tell you my New Year's resolution in a minute. But in going back to the very second podcast when we were talking to David Todd, I made a prediction that absolutely turned out to be true, and the second podcast was like in August, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
We started, first one was in August, so it might have been last week in August, first week in September, and I said Pedro was not going to play winter ball, and by God, he hasn't. Now, granted, that was like shooting fish in a barrel, but...
But you are correct.
To go out on a limb and make a prediction like that, but I was right on the fucking money, absolutely. So let's go month by month. Pirates started out well in April.
2-3 from the Cubs. April 9th, they took a extra inning games over the Rockies. In the 18th, they beat Cincinnati. 19th, Correa pitched a complete game. 12 wins, 15 losses in April. Mahalem was 1-4. Kutch hit 5 homers, but he was only batting .219. Your boy, Jose Tabata, was hitting .242.
Yeah.
Lyle Overbay, .223 in the month of April. Pedro Alvarez hit .200.
Also in April, looks like they placed Ohlendorf on the disabled list, placed Chris Snyder on the 15-day disabled list, called up our pal Joe Bimel, outrighted Garrett Olson. DFA'd J-Rod and picked up B-Wood.
Yeah, Brian Wood was here.
Picked up XP.
Mm.
DFA'd Bowker. We got him back. Let's see.
He ended up going to Philly. That's interesting.
Yeah. After we outrighted him in May. That was. All right, so let's talk about
Speaking
the month of May.
The Bucks finished up the month of May with 13 wins, 13 losses. Relief pitching was very, very good. I got some notes here. Veras had 9 holds in at the end of May. Let's see. Tabata was under .250. Dusty Brown was here. Kutch was hitting .247. Walker fell from, he hit 300 in 301 in April. He fell to 265 the end of May. They had a big win over the Tigers, if you remember that. And that started the Saturday sellout streak.
That's right.
That we talked about.
That was correctly predicted on rumbunter.com.
Rumbunter. And then a
damn fine website.
A nice start on May 25th, I have in my notes from James McDonald. He started to look very healthy. And now, as we talked about, or as he talked about on the show, Neil Huntington saying that he kind of pushed J-Mac, pitching a little hurt. But anyway,
yeah,
25 and 28 coming out of the month of May.
And on the 25th of May, the Pirates signed free agent outfielder K-Bell Escobar. How about that?
I like it.
Next day, we assigned him to the VSL. What happened? What else happened in May here? Joe Bimel went on the disabled list with elbow soreness. Steve Pierce, right calf strain. Ole went from the 15 to the 60-day. Domet went to the 15-day disabled list with the ankle. That ankle sprain from the collision. Oy. That was not fun. That's when we called up our boy Dusty and Josh Harrison at the same time. So let's get into June. June was a
great month.
June was a hell of a month.
The most wins the Pirates had since 2007 in one month. They went 16-11. But you could really see the injuries piling up. Let's see. June 4th, they had a walk-off win over the Phillies. Veras couldn't pitch. Resop couldn't pitch. We saw Evan Meek with a clean inning.
Snyder went on the 15 and then the 60-day disabled list.
The game winner, the hit to right field when XP scored. Remember that game?
Yes, sir.
Everybody went crazy.
I know I did.
The Red Sox series was there. We thought the city was going to burn down.
Oh, holy crap.
They actually finished with a winning interleague record. They won 4 interleague series.
First time ever.
And at the end of June, they were 41-39, 2 games behind the Brewers and the eventual world champion Cardinals, and they were guaranteed to be 500 at the halfway point. However, in the last game of the month, Matt Diaz was batting cleanup, and Brandon Wood was your designated hitter.
Well, because on the 27th, Crotta got optioned to Indy. Our boy Pedro Sarriaco went back to Indy. On the 28th, my boy Jose Tabata went on the deal with that right hand contusion. On the 29th, Dusty Brown went back to Indy. I had already been down at Indy. That's when I'd already seen Brad Lincoln pitch to Dusty Brown. And actually, Dusty had a salami. when I was there, one of the 2 games that we were down there, old Dusty needs a haircut. If you remember, Dusty was challenging people at Words with Friends on Twitter. If you remember early on in the season, and I was beating his ass, and he resigned. He fucking resigned, so that his record would be like 8-1 or some shit like that. And he totally cunted out.
Good luck to you, Dusty Brown.
Good luck, Dusty Brown. So let's get into the month of July, shall we?
Month of July. Let's see. I really was disappointed because I get to see a couple Nats games throughout the year. They dropped that series to the Nationals. Just took me wrong.
Stay thirsty.
Took 2 or 3 from the Astros. They were 45-42. On July 8th, you had Michael McHenry's 3-run jack, made the team 46-42. On the 10th, you had Andrew McCutchen's 3-run jack. Cubs took the series from the Cubs. They were 47-43.
Yes.
The All-Star game, the National League won, got to go fishing with Neil Walker. The Brewers were blown out, and their record stood at 49-44. The 19th, the Bucks were really surging. J-Mac had a great start. Had back-to-back shutouts along with Carson's against the Reds. J-Mac struck out 9 against the Braves on July 25th, and then July 26th, Jerry Mills set it safe.
I don't even want to talk about
crushing
that.
Crushing game.
There's no more reason to talk
quickly
about
quickly on the lineup from July 26th. The Pirates were 52-48, sitting in first place. But something a lot of people forget, the Braves were 60-44 at that point. So that also, some Braves fans say that jinxed the Braves too. But the starting lineup for the Pirates that day, Xavier Paul in left field, Jones in right field. Steve Pierce came in and finished out that game in right, going 0-for-5. Neil Walker was at second base. Andrew McCutchen, Pedro Alvarez, Lyle Overbay at first base. Cedeno was at short. McHenry behind the plate. Carsons was starting pitcher. And then your subs were Matt Diaz. You had Tony Watson. We had Joe Bimel back. We had Wood, saw some time. Varus, Resop, Fryer, Grilly, and D-Cutch. 19 players in total were used. And as we sit here today, fellas, 9 of those players are gone.
Yeah, we went over that. Let's see. On July 2nd, Ronnie Stay Thirsty Cedeno went on the DL with a concussion. And Pedro Siriaco made his 5th move that day. what else happened there? Let's see. Pirates signed Yamifer Polanco. And we got a lot of guys whose first name starts with a Y. And they're all in the DSL. On the 9th of that month, they sent Pedro down to Indianapolis. His demotion there. On the 15th, we did activate Joe Bimel. What else happened? Ronnie went on the 15-day disabled list. We signed Jason Grilly the same day they transferred Meek from the 15 to the 60-day disabled list and sent our boy Pedro Siriaco back to the Indians. That's when Chase Darno came up, if I'm not mistaken. No, I am mistaken. He got sent down the next day on the 27th because he had a fractured little finger. Alex Presley went on the 15-day disabled list the day before the meals game. Pedro came back from Indianapolis. So did Steve Pierce. So did Ronnie Cedeno. Bloody, 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 blah.
Pirates finished up the month of July, 54 wins and 52 losses.
And on the last day of that month, we traded for your home slice, D. Lee. And the guy who you just decided was never going to be a Pirate in your mind, Ryan Ludwig.
That's true.
And then
if you notice something that a lot of people miss, when did the collapse start? August 1st.
Right.
Who debuted on August 1st?
Derek Lee. And
Over.
And Lyle Overbay DFA'd. Lyle Overbay DFA'd. Domit came back on the 3rd. Overbay got released on the 5th. Released Michael Crotta.
Man, a lot of stuff right there. That's just a lot of change in your locker room, huh?
And Dealey on the 13th went on the 15-day disabled list of the fractured wrist. And then the 15th, we signed number 1 pick Garrett Cole. And number 2 pick, Josh Bell. There's our... and on the 16th, my boy Tabata came back, and Pedro went back to Indianapolis. And then Paul Mahalan went on the 15-day, and that was... and then Correa on the 22nd went on the 15-day, and I think that was his season ender, wasn't it?
Mm.
He didn't pitch again the rest of the season, did he? He had like 2 starts after the All-Star break, 3 starts after the All-Star break, something like that. Adam could effort it, but it's not worth it. Let's see what else. We get into August, the dog days of August.
The Cubs swept us.
The Padres
beat us 15-5.
That was the worst. Those 6 games at home.
13-2, 7-3. And suddenly, after that Padres series, the team was 54-59.
Mm-hmm.
But then on August 8th, they beat the eventual world champs 5-0 behind a great Charlie Morton start. But at the end of August, the Pittsburgh Pirates were 62-74 after they were shut out by Astros ace J.A. Happ 2-0. The team won 8 games in the month of August.
That just fucking blows. Well, you know why that is, because Pedro Cerriaco came up and went back down after only 2 days with the team in August. Let's see. Ludwig went on the DL with mid-back muscle spasms. We got back Darno and AP, though, and LaRue and Ohlendorf. And on the 23rd, we designated left-handed pitcher Joe Bimel for assignment. Excuse me. Yeah, that was the, really the end there. We traded Cash and left fielder Matt Diaz to the Atlanta Braves.
And amen. Then, and then the singles network moved and then, out.
And then September 1, we called up Brian Burris and Jason Jaramillo. So, let's see. How do we do in September there?
September took a series from the Cubs, start off the month, and on September 5th, the Brewers were sitting with 85 wins, and the Cardinals had 74. Isn't that something? On September 5th, the Milwaukee Brewers had 85 wins, Cardinals had 74. Anyway, September 14th was loss number 82. To the world champions Cardinals that wrapped up season number 19 in the streak. We got their 70th win on September 23rd with a 4-3 come-from-ahead win over the Reds. If you remember, JFJ had that 458-foot bomb that he hit, and Ryan Ludwig had the walk-off hit.
And we also broke the streak in Miller Park.
Yeah, they finished, they went 4 games against Milwaukee or some crazy shit.
And Rumbunter was there.
12 against the Brewers. 8 of those losses were at Miller Park.
And Rumbunter was there when we broke the streak at Miller Park with our good friend Jerry Green, contest winner Jerry Green, the Rumbunter podcast winner who had a free second row dugout seat with me. That's when I got that Pedro Alvarez ball that Adam was rolling across the
yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was not cool that he was rolling it across the console here. On the 6th of September, Correa went from the 15 to the 60. Pedro came back. Moscos, Locke, Aaron Thompson, Jared Hughes came back. Let's see, Meek got activated, Ludwig got activated, and the Pirates, with the biggest move of the year on the 14th, claimed catcher Matt Pagnazzi off waivers from Colorado and activated him 2 days later. That was all right there. And then we got
that was an ugly finish.
We get that too. That just fucking killed
God,
me.
An ugly finish.
That just killed me. Well, you know what? I've got to say, on the whole, it was an exciting year. It really was. We weren't as good as we were when we were in first, and we weren't as bad as we were when we had the August that we had.
Yeah, the offense scored less than 3 runs 79 times. It's hard to win ball games doing that.
Well, now we've got Clint Barmas
and Rod Barajas.
And once again, MVP Adam is sporting his number 26, Rod. I see you got your number put on, Adam.
Love this guy.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm so pumped.
That was good, and it was.
He can frame.
Picture of that.
He can frame strikes with the best of them. I'm so pumped.
Absolutely, I would get a picture of it, but my the lighting here in the studio is not good enough for me to get a picture. Speaking of number 26, it was nice to. I got a chance to talk with a friend of the program, Jim Popovich, at the very fine Pirates Fest too. He's a hell of a guy.
Hell of a guy.
He's a hell of a guy. He told me a little bit more about the Boys to Men story, but we won't. but we won't go over that, you know, in depth. We've beat that one to death, but I can't help but bring that up, you know.
So that recap: $17 million on the draft. We were in first place on July 25th. We had a 15-win improvement. However, 90 losses in 7 straight seasons. Pedro Alvarez just struggled mightily. However, the pitching did improve, almost by, what, a run?
A run a game.
Yeah. Or if we can do that in 2012, look out.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, look.
Stepping down to 3 Love it.
Eric Bedard?
Eric Bedard.
Eric Bedard.
Bedard.
Bedard. Bedard. Bedard. You gotta like that. I like the moves that we've made so far in the offseason. I'm not doing back handsprings over them, but I mentioned this in several places and kind of spoke to this with Neil Huntington too. It was good to get the players that you were looking after right out of the chute instead of waiting for sloppy seconds or sloppy thirds in the free agent market. Yeah, look, we know that Clint Barmas is not a world beater. We know that Rod Barajas is not a fucking world beater, okay? But they were players that the Pirates identified that they wanted, and they went after him right out of the gate. You know? So, I'm pleased with the direction we're going overall. I'm unhappy with the new CBA, even though I don't know if you saw the other day, Adam's shaking his head. Yep. Charlie did a good analysis on Buck's dugout. I think it was yesterday.
It sucks.
It does suck. Sucks. It's not as harsh as everybody.
Awful.
But
awful.
As I said, I reserve the right to keep my pitchfork and torch. Because once the Pirates move into the middle of the pack, they're fucked. They're absolutely fucked.
Exactly.
I gotta say. So, so what was your highlight of the season? Well, let's go around the room. Let's start with MVP Adam. What was your highlight of the season?
I'm going to defer. Let me think about it.
No, you don't have.
I'm going to go.
No. Adam, what was your highlight of the season?
Now let him think it over. He's pushing buttons.
All right.
He's pushing my
fucking buttons.
The impressive thing was the fans. To see the fans come out again, the only way. And I wrote extensively. God, I wrote too long about this the other day. But they have
I think
to increase their revenues. If they don't increase the revenues, this team has no shot at all. They can draft all these great players, but it's not going to work. To see those sellouts on Saturdays for, you know, almost hitting 2 million, they would have easily hit 2 million. All they needed to do was win, as we said, one of those games against the Cubs, maybe take one of those against the Padres, just to kind of keep that momentum going. But when that struggle hit, it was difficult for fans to accept. A lot of bandwagon fans on there, whatever. But to see the PNC Park look like that and go on to some of the games this year, that was the highlight.
That
seeing
was,
all those fans back.
Was your high watermark for the season was the Pirates fans?
Amen.
All right, so Adam, what was your high watermark of the season?
I think, thinking about it, I think it might have to be when they took 2 or 3 and it was almost really a sweep of the Red Sox. But for me personally, I got the MLB TV package and, you know, it was just the first time that it had gone so deep into the season that I could remember that regular season games were almost like playoff games, like trying to get into first place. It was just a feeling that I hadn't had in so long. It was amazing. I was just enjoying it for weeks and months on end.
So it was a month long boner for you that was the highlight.
Yeah,
pretty much. It was kind of like Pirates Cialis.
I know you're supposed to call your doctor after 4 hours, but I just let it go the whole month.
Hey, I think a lot of us would go with a month long.
Let
boner.
Her go.
My highlight to the year. Most assuredly was joining the Rum Bunter team. And I can't thank you enough, Smitty, for including me in this and having me aboard as a writer and a contributing editor and the evolution of the podcast.
As my wife says, I'm the lucky one.
Well, in your marriage you are, but as far as the rest of it goes, I certainly am I'm happier than a pig in clover, as I often say. I'm pleased as punch to be here. I can't thank both of you enough for making August through December a hell of a time for me.
It's been fun.
The other thing was Jose Tabata's hit to right to win, as we spoke earlier. Another highlight for me was the last Monday night game in Milwaukee. That was a very pleasing thing. New Year's resolutions. Adam, now this doesn't have to be Pirates related, but I know you've made a New Year's resolution. You need to share it with us.
I haven't.
You lying sack
of No, shit. I'm really bad. It's not New Year's yet. I got time to cram.
You got a couple days to ruminate.
I don't know, I'm going to defer again. Hold on.
Christ on a cracker. Smitty?
Be a better dad, be a better husband, be a better writer, be a better friend, find better guests, be a better worker.
Well, 5 out
Drink
of 6.
More beer and eat more condiments. Especially Arby's horseradish sauce.
Dude, you just buy horseradish.
Love horseradish.
Well, just get it and grate it yourself.
We do that. We do that.
Yeah, that's.
I don't make it myself, but a gentleman I work with makes excellent horseradish.
Grate it.
Crazy.
Just grate that out. All right, Adam, your New Year's resolution?
I like that. I'm going to steal some of that. I like be a better friend, be a better boyfriend, work harder, get more exercise, and have those exciting July games carry into August and September and October.
I don't think that's something you can resolve.
I'm going to try so hard.
You're going to make it.
I'm going to try so hard.
You're
going to
make it interesting no matter what. My New Year's resolutions? Number one, to continue to make the podcast fun for our listeners. And without you people that listen to us and comment and send us feedback, we couldn't do it. And we really appreciate that. As far as my New Year's resolution on the podcast goes, I resolve to say the word fuck one more time than I have on every fucking podcast up until this point. My other resolutions are, okay, I'll go be a better husband. I don't know how I could be better than I am already because I'm pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
If you ask my wife, it's to be awesome. My other New Year's resolution is to somehow get to spring fucking training. I'm gonna get to spring training by hook or by crook, and if I have to beg, borrow, or steal, I will get to spring training somehow, some way. And we need to put up a final contest for the last contest of the year for the Rumbunter podcast listeners. And I have some swag that I scored at Pirates Fest. I have some autographed pictures, of Pirates players, not the picture of me and Jose Tavita. Because that's fucking going right over my computer. Dude, this is sweet.
Fireplace.
This is something. I don't have a fireplace in my apartment, but goddamn, if I did, that would be. I mean, look at me. I'm just like, how fucking man crush can you get, Adam? That's a pretty great photo, you got to admit.
He's made sure. Did you make him take a couple and make sure you get the Wilco wristband in it, too?
Oh, no, but you
it's
know
right
what?
Right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, and I went back. It was funny because they said, well, come back in an hour because it was fucking packed. And I came back in an hour and they didn't have them. So I came back the next day on Sunday and I said, where's the pictures from yesterday? And they're like, okay, here's all the ones with Tabata. And so I went through all of these fucking pictures. My picture was not in there. And I'm like, hello, pole smokers. I took a picture. I mean, look, these are $20, okay? You got to pay for this shit, $20. So I go through and I'm like, hey, my pictures aren't there. You know, where are they? And I said, well, we'll have to look for them. I'm like, okay, well, just look for the fat guy with Tabata and I'll be back in an hour. So I Vlad and I went to, we're hanging on. We went and saw Tim over at Pirates Prospects and chatted with him and Kevin. It was very good to meet Kevin. Kevin's a pistol, too. And then went back over to the photo booth, and they're like, oh, well, here it is. I'm like, okay, well, fine. You know, I guess I'll take it. I says, where's the little 3x5s? They're like, well, those are – I'm like, just fucking give them to me. I came all the way from Chicago, so they printed them off for me for nothing. So that was a really pointless fucking story.
What about wallets? Did you get wallets?
These are wallets. No, these are the only ones that I got, but these are pretty fucking awesome. So what other resolutions do I have? To go to more Pirates games. To go to more Pirates games and I've chatted long. Are you back from taking a leak yet there, Smitty?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm just listening to your fascinating story.
My fascinating. Oh my God! My resolution is to try to not do so many of those horrible digressions next year. I can't promise that, but I will resolve to, you know, to do my best. Anything else? I think that's going to wrap up 2011.
What a great job we did!
We really, you know what? For the first season of Rum Bunter Podcasts, I think we did a hell of a job. And once again, we need a contest. You were supposed to be thinking of a contest while I was rapping on that. All right, let's make this an easy one. Who has been our most frequent guest on the Rum Bunter Podcast? Who have we had on the podcast as a guest more than anybody else? When this post goes up, make sure that you comment. Comments will be screened. We will choose a winner from among all the correct answers, and we will send out some great pirate swag from Pirates Fest. I have some autographs that'll be making their way out to you. All right, kids, that's going to do it for the Rum Bunter Podcast. We very much appreciate it. Once again, Happy New Year, and we look forward to seeing you in 2012.